Bed Ringers.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Coming up after the news, there's another chance to hear quote-unquote, unfortunately. But first, here is the panto warning. There are warnings of Frank Bruno, people you've never heard of out of Neighbours, John Inman and Bernie Clifton in the following seaside theatres. Bournemouth Apollo, venue, good. Audience participation expected soon. Scarborough Majestic, Cannon and Ball expected stage right, 8 p.m. Blackpool Grand, severe crankies likely. Jokes, poor. Fan Dabby Dozy, increasing steadily. The best of these people's careers, behind them. Entertainment value, rock all.
Hello there, I'm Nick Ross. Faster and more effective than Horlicks. Welcome to Crime Watch. Tonight's crime is particularly disturbing. Dozens of my extras from Crime Watch have been stolen from me in broad daylight. We believe this man walking through this abandoned 16th century castle could well be behind it.
Hello, I'm David Starkey. Tonight on Elizabeth, we take a look at one of Britain's most famous queens and how he got his history show commissioned by Channel 4.
We believe that Starkey has been spiriting away my extras so they can appear in even more unconvincing reconstructions in his show. One was recently happily playing a thug robbing a post office with a sawn-off shotgun.
Give me all your money.
When he was ruthlessly kidnapped, put in stockings and suspenders and a beard and forced to play Henry VIII for several days.
Do you know Catherine of Aragon? I think I'll write Greensleeves.
The question is, who will Starkey grab next?
Don't worry. I know exactly the sort of wooden, stilted, unconvincing performer who'll be perfect for my next extravaganza.
Who knows who that will be? Anyway, this is Nick Ross, dressed as Richard III, recreating the Battle of Bosworth, somewhere in Sussex. For now is the winter of our discontent. But don't worry, winters of discontent are very rare, so please don't have nightmares. Good night.
Hi, yeah, I'm Caroline, welcoming you to my brand new spin-off series from The Farmer Wants a Wife. It's The Farmer Wants Someone Else's Wife. Wow. Infidelity, it's really exciting, yeah. Me and Toby have an open relationship. I like guardsmen, and so does he. My pony has got a Gucci blanket. Anyway, this week on The Farmer Wants Someone Else's Wife, Brian Aldridge is trying to cop off with Dr. Hathaway's wife, Siobhan.
I've organised to meet Siobhan down the bull.
Joe, it's quite peculiar when you think of it, Siobhan. You moving to Ambridge. What with you being an interpreter and 95% of the people living here speaking with exactly the same accent.
No, there's still plenty of work for me here. For example, despite the fact that I'm fluent in over 17 different languages, I've had no luck translating this one back into English.
All I said was, is anyone sitting there?
Unable to make his move in a crowded pub, yeah. I like all bar one, myself. Anyway, Brian changes tactics and decides to try and romance Caroline in Brussels, assisted by an array of really awful sound effects.
Well, here we are then, my darling, in Brussels.
Yes, isn't this non-specific part of Brussels one of the loveliest non-specific areas in Brussels? Really amazingly, considering how repulsive and vile he is, Brian does manage to get a snog off Siobhan, meaning that no doubt Archer's fans will have the rare treat of hearing Brian Aldridge and someone else's wife romping naked in the shower.
Oh, Siobhan.
Oh, Brian. Oh, no.
And
that was the unmistakable cracking sound caused by the arthritis in my left knee. I'm John Peel, and this is my rockumentary. I look back at the career of the legendary group who, more than any other, influenced and inspired a whole generation of rock performers. Of course, I'm referring to the Sing Something Simple singers. Mick Jagger remembers the 60s.
Oh, yeah. No, because, you know, they were like... You know, they were just sort of like out there, you know. No, because, like, for me, they were the 60s, you know. Because when they brought out their version of one of my songs, it just kind of, like, blew me away.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name, oh yeah. But what's confusing you is just the nature of my game. Ooh.
By the late 70s, the winds of change were blowing away the established rock acts. Not so the Sing Something Simple singers, who embraced punk with a vengeance.
I am an antichrist. I am an anarchist. I wanna be an anarchist. Anarchy in the UK.
It was just days after recording that punk anthem that the singers gained worldwide notoriety during their infamous swearing appearance on The Bill Grundy Show.
You dirty b***. You dirty b***. Why don't you go and f*** yourself and f*** your wife as well?
As they stepped from the stage, their place amongst the rock legends was, of course, assured. Soon Wembley, Shea Stadium, and the dizzy heights of Radio 2 beckoned.
This is the ITV News at 10. I'm Trevor MacDonald. Do you really like it? Is it wicked? Channel 4 has bought the new series of Star Trek. Some fans fear this will mean some dramatic changes.
Space, the final frontier for reality television. Day one aboard the Enterprise, and Captain Kirk and Picard are addressing the housemates.
Our 10-week mission is to seek out new ways to get ourselves onto the front pages of the tabloids.
Day 72, supplemental, and after winning a week's supply of extra dilithium crystals, a drunken Captain Kirk removes his corset and attempts to give Scotty a back rub in the jacuzzi.
You cannot hold your gut in, Captain. You cannot hold it in. You cannot put your fat, white, bloated body in there. You cannot break the law of physics.
Day 208, and the Enterprise has been boarded by a monstrous race, even more horrific than the Borg, but equally determined to assimilate everyone aboard.
It's us before my big brother contestants. I'm Craig. Luckily, in their space, no one can hear me Christmas single. Great. Yeah, come on, we're opening a supermarket in real.
This is Fergal. Like Prince and Bono, one name is enough. I see anguish, sorrow, and misery on the faces of the people around me. The future holds at best despondency, and at worst utter despair. So thank you, Dougal, my friend, for asking me to make this best man's speech. As I watch the bridesmaids accompany Siobhan up the aisle, glowing and innocent in their matching dresses, I could not help but think how, if they were Macedonian, they would be carrying Armalite rifles. Or if they were in Senegal, they would be begging for a grain of rice or the chance to appear on Comic Relief. So Dougal and Siobhan, as you embark on a future together, mindful of the fact that there's a 40% chance that 2 years from now you'll be separating, spare a thought for your as yet unborn children. Unable to comprehend why Mummy wants to kick Daddy out, because of his affair with Maeve from accounts. So raise your half-empty glasses, one and all, and join me in a toast to the bride and groom.
Good afternoon, Stenolith.
Oh, hello. Is that the Stairlift Repair Centre?
Yes.
Oh, hello. This is the renowned Yorkshire playwright, Alan Bennett.
Oh, hi there.
I wondered if you might be able to assist.
Yes, sure. I'll just take your details.
Well, the story goes, the other afternoon, I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Cora Hurd, just after we'd returned from the record shop.
Uh-huh.
And we just spent some time listening to the new album by Godsmack. When Thora asked if I'd be a love and try and install her new stairlift.
OK, what I'll do is I'll actually put you through to customer services here, who can deal with you quicker.
Well... Do you have stairlift repair people?
Yeah, we do. I'll give you the phone number for them, OK?
I was wondering if they might be able to help me out.
Yes.
Because, you see, I was just sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora the other day when she asked me if I'd try and fit her new stairlift.
You want her to get a new stairlift?
Well, she's got one, and she asked me to fit it.
She asked you to fit it?
Yes, she said, would you be a love and fit my new stairlift?
So did
I did, but I think I've fitted it incorrectly.
You can fit it incorrectly.
Thora hit the roof.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Ooh, ah, just a little bit, ooh, ah, a little bit more. Ooh, ah, just a little bit, you know what I'm looking for. Time now for Start the Week with Muriel Gray.
Hello, joining me in the studio for more controversial debates are a Darwinist and a church historian, Professor Anthony Hardy. What must you feel being sat opposite a vicar?
Well, it's fine.
But why is there such bitter rancour between scientists and historians?
Well, no, I have to say, I don't think there is.
Just listen to the fury in that voice. Reverend Peter Kendall, you must want to let rip at this Darwinist antichrist here. I mean, where do you start?
Well, actually, Muriel, modern Christianity and Darwin have a lot in common. Both are interested in the fundamental questions.
Oh, you mean who, what, where, when and why questions. But surely the two of you must have been at each other's throats from the moment you arrived in the building.
No, we're old friends, actually.
Oh, well, interestingly, Professor Hardy, when I was talking to him earlier, Reverend Kendall said your mother's a slag.
I most certainly did not.
No, I don't think he did.
Are you going to let him say that about your mum? What's that? Oh, actually, now, Professor Hardy says your sister's done it with the entire second year at Balliol.
Would you stop trying to get us into an argument?
No, just ignore her, Peter. She's not worth it.
Don't tell me what to do.
Fight, 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 fight.
Sorry I spoke sharply to you, Anthony.
No, that's quite all right. Don't give it another thought.
Well, as you can hear, this extremely adversarial row will continue long into the night. Join me next week when I'll be chairing a debate about children's fiction, live from a cockfighting pit in Stepney Green. Goodbye.
Right. OK. Well, can I say that we in the Liberal Democrats are delighted to welcome our second new member in as many weeks. I don't know much about your political background, though, except that obviously you're in the upper chamber, Lord Vader.
I have until now sworn allegiance to the evil imperial powers who will rule for all time. The dark side.
Yes, Paul Marsden was a new Labour man himself. So, OK, where would you say you're coming from? Politically, what are your beliefs?
I believe in the total destruction of the Rebel Alliance.
Right, OK. OK. Any thoughts on the provision of cycle lanes at all?
I hate them. Cycle lanes stop me parking my Imperial battlecruiser.
Well, OK, I have to say, given your political beliefs, it would be totally inappropriate for you to join the Liberal Democrats. but that's never stopped us. Welcome to the party.
Thank you, my friend. Now, what plans do you have to win the next general election?
Well, you've learned much, young Vader, but you're not a Lib Dem yet.
Rodney, you plonker, what are you doing standing out here? We've got to cheer the nation up.
Because the flat is full of bloody junk, Del.
For your information, Rodders, those Bulgarian Christmas tree lights are blinding. Just ask Trigger if you don't believe me.
No, Del, it's really horrible in here.
Hello, I'm Carol Smiley, approved by the British Dental Foundation, welcoming you to changing rooms. Delboy and Rodney, once we've finished with your much-loved sitcom, you won't recognise it.
What sort of plonker would change something that doesn't need changing just for the sake of it?
Well, this kind of plonker, Linda Barker. Well, Carol, what we've done is we've got rid of all those traditional, well-structured working-class jokes that were clustering the place up and transformed it into something much more middle-class. We've placed a highly decorative Richard Wilson in the corner for no apparent reason because he's very popular at the moment, which is really, really nice.
I can't believe it.
Wait a moment, that's my sodding catchphrase.
Why have you replaced Uncle Albert's chairs with something louder?
Yes, that's right. It's me, Johnny Vaughan. After Horrible, I'm keen to try something completely different. That's right, comedy.
Yes, and we threw out all the working-class trappings that were turning off our key ABC One viewers and replaced them with a cappuccino machine.
You lot have some brass neck. Surely you realise that I'm the BBC's one and only cockney-wide boy geezer passing off right hooky gear to the Panthers.
Oh dear, you've obviously never heard of Greg Dyke.
Good morning, that was midweek. I'm Libby Purvis, and I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Now here's Jenny Murray with Woman's Hour.
Hello. Coming up on today's programme, we'll be looking at the plight of working-class black lesbian women in the Sudan. And that'll be followed by a report about how to make scones with lots of scrubby jam and lashings of fresh clotted cream. Also on the show today is an issue we can all relate to, and that is, of course, the pressures of being a modern woman unknowingly used as a drugs mule and imprisoned for life in a Turkish jail. Then I'll be talking to Jack Nicholson and telling him he's absolutely scrummy and dreamy and asking if he'll let me pinch his bum. Oh, go on, Jack, you know you want it. So, join us on Woman's Hour with me, Jenny Murray. I'm every woman, it's all in me. Anything you want done, baby, I'll do it naturally.
Jenny Murray there, she thinks she's it, but she's not all that.
Good afternoon, BBC Radio Cumbria.
Oh, hello, Radio Cumbria. It's Michael Burke over at the newsroom at Wood Lane. Could you put me through to someone in the newsroom, please?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you very much indeed.
Hello, it's Julie speaking. Can I help?
Yes, hello, it's Michael Burke over at Wood Lane. Just wanted to check a story through with you. It's come through on the wires in your area.
And
it's, just wondered if you knew anything about it. It's, what's this here? Described as an incident involving a large, round fat man sitting upon a wall, and anything like that come through?
Not that I know of, because I have literally just walked into the building. If you hold on a moment, I think we can add bulletins in tray.
It's just straight through on the wires, as it was in your area. It's very sketchy, RM, but we just thought we'd check it in your area. An incident describing a large, round, fat man who was injured as a result of falling from a wall.
Call back on, Michael, and I'll have a chat with the reporter that's been on this morning when she comes back in.
5580, but nothing through so far.
Right.
Oh, hang on. Yes, a large, round, fat man falling from a wall has been named as Mr. H. Dumpty. Nothing on that? Apparently all the king's horses and men are at the scene, but so far they can't put Mr. H. Dumpty back together again.
Oh, poor bloke, bless him. Never mind.
So nothing on that at all?
Absolutely nothing, no. Perhaps you'd be better off trying a nursery. They might be able to help you.
Hello, Gordon. Do come in.
Hello, Tony.
I do hope that you have
forgotten that silly business about wanting to be Prime Minister, Gordon. You'd be no good, you know. I mean, you're nowhere near as smiley and popular as I am. Waggle eyebrows, big grin, populist smirk. Now, I wanted to go through with you the Treasury accounts to see if you've been adding up correctly. You see, I've been thinking in many ways.
My name is Gordon Maximus Decimus Brown. Chancellor of the Exchequer, Member of Parliament for Dunfermline East, husband to Sarah Macaulay, and I will be Prime Minister in this life or the next.
...of these figures, and that is where we believe that... Gordon? Gordon, are you listening? Oh, you're still not thinking about being Prime Minister, are you? Honestly, muttered swear word, death stare, Richter's grin. Now, I want to draw your attention, Gordon.
Use the force, Gordon.
Gordon.
What?
Would you concentrate, please? I'm not doing this for my own benefit. Right, now, if we were to turn to...
Gordon, the force will be with you, always. Trust your feelings.
Well, back to the matter in hand. These figures, can you explain to me what these numbers mean? You see, I've looked at this very clearly.
Tony, we've known each other for many years. This is the first time you've come round to me for counsel, for help. But you don't ask with respect. No, you don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me Godfather. What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
Gordon. Right, that's it. Gordon, I have had enough. You are certainly not ever going to be Prime Minister now. Not that you were anyway. Big huff, toys out of cot, giant strop. I'm going off to meet the rest of the cabinet now, and you're not invited, so there.
Hasta la vista, Tony.
And that's why I like eating cakes and killing men. Thank you very much, I'm Jo Brand. Now, please welcome to the stage a new act at the Comedy Market, and her name is Kate Adie.
Hello, I'm Kate Adie. I used to be on TV reporting tragedy, but then the BBC said they didn't like me, so I thought I'd try comedy. I'm like John Hegley reciting poetry, though my dad never hit me, and I don't wear glasses.
The strong stench of death hangs in the air. This is Kate Adie running very quickly to safety. Good night.
Just from glancing at the body, I can tell what we have here is a man. A man aged between 30 and 35 who chain-smoked, holidayed in Greece twice a year and who drank heavily, am I right?
No, you're not, love. I'm your agent. Look, Amanda, can't you get out of silent witness mode for just a few minutes? You know, it's making it really difficult for me to get you other roles. I tell you, all I've got left for you now is Panto, love.
I say I am the evil Captain Oog, Peter Pan, and I will fight you with my big sword. What do you say to that? I say, what do you say to that?
What we have here is a pirate. A pirate whose hand was probably severed by some sort of large reptilian creature. A large reptilian creature aged 30 to 35 who chain-smoked, holidayed in Greece twice a year and who drank heavily.
I say stop telling everyone exactly what's going to happen to me. You're spoiling it for children. Isn't that right, Tinkerbell? I say, isn't that right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Allow children is me, Tinkerbell. Yeah. Yeah, the daintiest fairy in all of Neverland. Yeah, isn't that right, Peter?
No, what we have here is a man. A 16-stone man dressed in an ill-fitting pink tutu, orange tights and ballet slippers. A man whose showbiz career died many court super sales ago. Who in a few years' time will be appearing on Celebrity Crime Watch on Channel 5 and talking about Anton Deck on I Remember 2001.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard the other day, just after the parish whist drive, when Thora spied an article about how Michael Barrymore had been completely vindicated over that unpleasant incident that took place at his home some months ago. Thora's kindly face dissolved into a crumb-laden expression of relief. Thank goodness for that, Alan. I know only too well what can happen to a showbiz career when the press gets hold of a story. I nodded, and my mind was cast back to a warm July evening in 1995, where myself, Peter Salis, George Michael and Mr. Pettiford from number 42 attended a star-studded Tupperware party at Thora's house. Thora had invited the workers of the local confectionery storage plant and the Yorkshire Dales Horticultural Preservation Society. So many had turned up, you couldn't move for fudge packers and uphill gardeners. Soon, things got out of hand. Thora was horrified to discover Daniela Westbrook snorting up the white powder in her kitchen, as that meant there was no icing sugar left for her freshly baked macaroons. As I entered the garden, I noticed that Peter Salis and Dale Winton had turned into an enormous dancing whippet with black puddings for eyes. It was then I realised that someone had spiked our Earl Grey with a hallucinogenic substance, Sunny Delight. Suddenly the party came to an abrupt halt when we discovered Mr. Pettiford lying face down in Thora's walk-in bath. Fortunately, it transpired that he was merely looking for his rubber duck. All efforts to bring him to the surface failed. As when we used Thora's stairlift, it repeatedly short-circuited in the tepid water. Of course, we immediately knew the damage had been done and the scandal would be enormous. It was. The next day, the newspaper's headlines all screamed, "Stairlift malfunctions in tepid water." Naturally, stairlift sales slumped overnight, and Thora's lucrative advertising contract was handed to Pat Coombs. The incident was reenacted for Crime Watch, after which Roy Clark adapted it into an episode of Last of the Summer Wine by making it slightly less funny and adding some wheels to the bath. So as I look across at Thora, having a blubbing interview with Martin Bashir in the corner, I say to Michael Barrymore, "Before you know it, you'll soon be back in the swim of things." I know Thora was.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwall. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, Tony Roach, Danny Robbins and Dan Tetzel, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.